Chapter 4, Sword God. In Babylon of the 8th century, the planet Mars became a great and feared god, to whom many prayers were composed and hymns and invocations were sung and magic formulas were whispered. Such formulas are referred to as magic words with raising the hand to the planet Nergal, Mars. These prayers were addressed directly to the planet Mars. Like the Greek Ares, Nergal is called, quote, king of battle, who brings the defeat, who brings the victory. Nergal could not be regarded as favoring the people of the double streams. On a most fateful night, he inflicted a defeat on Sennacherib. Shine of horror, God Nergal, prince of battle, thy face is glare, thy mouth is fire, raging flame god, God Nergal. Thou art anguish and terror, great sword god, lord who wanderest in the night, horrible, raging flame god, whose storming is a storm flood. In one of its great conjunctions, Mars's atmosphere was stretched so that it appeared like a sword. Often before, and later, too, celestial prodigies assumed the shape of swords. Thus, in the days of David, a comet appeared in the form of a human being, quote, between the earth and heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. The Roman god Mars was pictured with a sword. He became the god of war. The Chaldean Nergal is called Sword God. Of this sword, Isaiah spoke when he predicted the repetition of the catastrophe, a stream of brimstone, flame, storm, and reeling of the sky. Quote, then shall the Assyrian fall with a sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword, not of a mean man, shall devour him, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, for my sword shall be bathed in heaven. The ancients classified the comets according to their appearance. In the old astrological texts, as in the Book of Prophecies of Daniel, comets that took the form of a sword were originally related to the planet Mars. Besides the sword-like appearance of the atmosphere of Mars, elongated on its approach to the Earth, there was also another reason to make the planet Mars the god of war. A bellicose or martial character was ascribed to the planet because of the great excitement it caused, excitement that brought anxiety to many peoples, that led to migrations and to wars. Since early times, celestial prodigies have been regarded as portents that forecast great commotions and great wars. A planet that collided with other planets in the sky and rushed against the Earth as if it were a fire sword became the god of battle, wresting this title from the hands of Athene Ishtar. Quote, the gods of heaven put themselves in war against thee, the hymns of the planet Nergal say, and this is the war that was recounted in the Iliad. Nergal was named Haradu-Rabu, the great warrior. He waged war against gods and the earth. The most frequent ideogram for Nergal in Semitic cuneiform is read Namsaru, which means sword. The planet Mars, in the Babylonian inscriptions of the 7th century, was called, quote, the most violent among the gods. Herodotus said that the Scythians worshipped Ares, Mars, and that a scimitar of iron was their image of him. To him, they made human sacrifices and poured the blood on the scimitar. Solonus wrote of the people of Scythia, quote, the god of this people is Mars. Instead of images, they worship swords. War in heaven among the colliding planets, war on earth among the nations wandering in unrest, a planet running toward the earth with an outstretched flaming sword, attacking land and sea, participating in the wars among the nations, all these made Mars the god of war. The sword of the god of battle was not like the sword of a mighty man. It was not thrust into the belly, and yet it caused sickness and death. The god of war scattered pestilence. In a prayer to the planet Mars, Nergal, it is said, radiant abode that beams over the land, who is thy equal? When thou ridest in the battle, when thou throwest down, who can escape thy look? Who can run away from thy storming? Thy word is a mighty catch net, stretched over sky and earth. His word makes human beings sick. It enfeebles them. His word, when he makes his way above, makes the country sick. The outbreak of pestilence that appears to have accompanied the first contact with the planet Mars was repeated on each subsequent contact. Amos uttered these words, "I have smitten you with blasting and mildew. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt." The planet Nergal was regarded by the Babylonians as the god of war and pestilence. Thus, too, did the Greeks regard the planet Ares, and the Romans the planet Mars. Fenris, Wolf. In the Babylonian astrological text, it is said that a star takes the shape of diverse animals, lion, jackal, dog, pig, fish. This, in our opinion, explains the worship of animals by ancient peoples, notably the Egyptians. The planet Mars, its atmosphere distorted by its approaches to other celestial bodies, Venus, Earth, Moon, took on different shapes. The Mexicans narrated that Huitzilopochtli, the bellicose destroyer of cities, took the form of various birds and beasts. On one occasion, Mars very characteristically resembled a wolf or jackal. In Babylonia, Mars had seven names. Jackal was one of them. Also, the god with the head of a jackal or wolf in the Egyptian pantheon was apparently Mars. Of him, it is said that he is a, quote, prowling wolf circling this land. In the Chinese chart of Suzhou, in which it is related on the authority of more ancient sources that, quote, once Venus suddenly ran into the wolf star. Wolf star apparently means Mars. Wolf, or Lupus Martius, was the animal symbol for Mars of the Roman religion. Here we have a relevant footnote, Virgil's Aeneid and Livy's History of Rome. A statue of Mars on the Appian Way stood between figures of wolves. Quote, among the animal symbols of Mars, the wolf holds first place. The wolf belongs so definitely to Mars that Lupus Martius, or Martialis, became its usual name. As to the meaning of this symbol, it is difficult to understand it. Roscher and Roscher's Lexicon. Back to the original text. It gave rise to the legend about Romulus, son of Mars, who was fed by a she-wolf. According to the tradition, the conception of Romulus took place during a prolonged eclipse. The Slavic Vudaklak, who followed the clouds and devoured the sun or the moon, had the shape of a wolf. The North Germanic tribes, too, spoke with a wolf's skull that pursued the sun. In the Edda, the planetary god that darkened the sun is called Fenris Wolf. Quote, whence comes the sun to smooth the sky back when Fenris swallowed it forth? End quote. The Battle of Mars and Venus is presented, in the Icelandic epos, as a fight between the wolf Fenris and the serpent Midgard. Quote, the bright snake gaping in the heaven above, and the foaming wolf battle in the sky. Storms come in summer, then comes the day, and, quote, dark grows the sun. In a great upheaval, the heaven is cloven. In anger smites the warden of earth. Forth from their homes must all men flee. The sun turns black, earth sinks in the sea. The hot stars down from the heaven are whirled. Fierce grows the stream, till fire leaps high above heaven itself. Sword time, wolf time. Quaking of places, tumult of peoples, scheming of nations, confusion of leaders. 4 Ezra, verse 9. The fear of the judgment day not only did not pacify the nations, but on the contrary uprooted them, impelling them to migration and war. The Scythians came down from the plains of the Dnieper and Volga and moved southward. The Greeks left their home in Mycenae and on the islands of the Aegean and carried on the siege of Troy through the years of cosmic disturbances. Assyrian kings waged war in Elam, Palestine, Egypt, and beyond the Caucasus. Civil war in the nations, tribal strife, and strife between members of households became so widespread that the same complaint was heard in many parts of the world. As I have already said, Mars was named the war god not only because of his sword-like appearance, but also because of these conflicts. Quote, the land is darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother, said Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 19. In Egypt, an inscription of the 8th century that refers to the moon disturbed in its movement mentions incessant fighting in the land, quote, while years passed in hostility, each one seizing upon his neighbor, not remembering his son to protect. Isaiah, speaking of the day of wrath, says, and I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. It was no different 700 years earlier in the days of the catastrophes caused by Venus. At that time, an Egyptian sage complained, I show thee the land upside down. The sun is veiled and shines not in the sight of men. I show thee the sun as enemy, the brother as foe, a man slaying his father. The Icelandic Waluspa says, dark grows the sun, brothers shall fight and fell each other. Axe time, sword time, shields are sundered, wind time, wolf time, ere the world falls, nor ever shall men each other spare. The wars of Shalmaneser IV, Sargon II, and Sennacherib were carried on in the intervals between the catastrophes and at the very time of their occurrence. The campaigns were repeatedly interrupted by the forces of nature. Of his second campaign, Sennacherib wrote, quote, the month of rain set in with extreme cold, and the heavy storm sent down rain upon rain and snow. I was afraid of the swollen mountain streams. The front of my yoke, I turned and took the road to Nineveh. Before Sennacherib set out on his last campaign to Palestine, his astrologers told him that he had to hurry if he would escape calamity. As we know, he did not escape it. At the same time, Isaiah, who encouraged Hezekiah to resist Sennacherib, reckoned with the possibility of a disaster in the year of the opposition of Mars, and thus built his hope on the intervention of the forces of nature. The Babylonians called the year of the close opposition of Mars, quote, the year of the fire god, and the month of descent of the fire god, as for instance an inscription of Sargon. In the birth of the war god, the Hindu poet Kalidasa gave a vivid picture of the wars above and on the earth, weaving them in one great battle. Quote, foul birds came, a horrid flock to see, and dimmed the sun, and monstrous snakes as black as powdered soot, spitting hot poison high into the air, brought terror to the army underfoot. The sun a sickly halo round him had, coiling within it frightened eyes could see great writhing serpents, and in the very circle of the sun were phantom jackals. There fell, with darting flame and blinding flash, lightning the farthest heavens from on high, a thunderbolt whose agonizing crash brought fear and shuddering from a cloudless sky. There came a pelting rain of blazing coals, with blood and bones of dead men mingled in. Smoke in weird flashes horrified their souls. The sky was dusty gray like ass's skin. The elephants stumbled and the horses fell. The footmen jostled, leaving each his post. The ground beneath them trembled at the swell of ocean when an earthquake shook the host. Lightning is usually discharged between two clouds or a cloud and the ground. But if for some reason the charge of the ionosphere, the electrified layer of the upper atmosphere, should be sufficiently increased, a discharge would occur between the upper atmosphere and the ground, and a thunderbolt would crash from a cloudless sky. The planet god Shiva, Kalidasa says, quote, deposited his seed in fire, and gave birth to Kumara, who battled the great demon named Taraka that troubled the world. The Babylonian astrologers ascribed to their planet gods the ability to emit the sounds of different animals, lion, pig, jackal, horse, ass, and of two species of birds. The ancient Chinese likewise asserted that planets emit animal sounds when they approach the Earth with a rain of stones. It is fairly probable that on some occasion the crash of the discharge, quote, from the cloudless sky, sounded like Taraka, the name of the demon who battled the planets. The Ethiopian king who went up against Sennacherib called himself Taharka or Tiraka, In many places in the Near and Middle East, this or similar names suddenly became very popular at the close of the 8th century before the present era. Before that time, it was unknown. Taraka troubled the world so that the seasons have forgotten how to follow one another now. They simultaneously bring flowers of autumn, summer, spring. The night when Sennacherib's army was destroyed, he survived, but according to rabbinical sources, was badly burned. Sometime after his inglorious return from Palestine without his army, he was killed by two of his sons as he knelt in a temple. Esarhaddon pursued his brother patricides, killed them, and became king. On one of his campaigns against Egypt, his armies became so panicky at some natural phenomenon that they scattered and fled from Palestine, where Sennacherib had lost his army to the storm god Nergal. The laconic cuneiform chronicles, composed in the days of Nabonidus, the last Babylonian king who lived in the 6th century, record the main events of Esarhaddon's war. In the 6th year, the troop of Assyria went to Egypt. They fled before a great storm. An army as disciplined as the Assyrian army under one of its famous kings would not have run away from a cloudburst. The event mentioned in this inscription suggests to its modern publisher that the scriptural story of a blast that destroyed the Assyrian host refers not to Sennacherib's army, but to that of his successor son. Otherwise, one must think that on two similar occasions a natural cause subdued the Assyrian army. However, it is probable that after the army of Sennacherib was annihilated, violent atmospheric discharges and some portents in the sky, so numerous in those years, threw the Assyrian troops into a panic so that they fled. The trembling earth, the displacement of the poles, the change in the climate, the frightening prodigies in the sky, caused great movements of peoples. The Aztecs changed their homeland. Quote, "The Mexicans carried with them an idol which they called Huitzilopochtli. They asserted that this idol commanded them to leave their country, promising to make them lords and masters of all the lands, which abounded with gold, silver, feathers, and all the things necessary for life. The Mexicans departed like the children of Israel in their search of a promised land." In India, the patron of the invading Aryan race was Indra, the god of war, the Hindu Mars. The Ionians and Dorians spread to the islands, the Latins were pressed by newcomers to the Apennine Peninsula, the Sumerians wandered from Europe across the Bosphorus into Asia Minor, the Scythians crossed the Caucasus into Asia.